Hello, everybody. This is Sanjay Reddy, and you're listening to Detox, the Design Podcast. In this episode, we're going to talk about SDM, Strategic Design Management at NID. To discuss that, I have Akhil Babu with me today from SDM NID, and now he's working at IBM as a designer. Now, Akhil talks about everything related to SDM. He talks about how he prepared for the exam, you know, what are the important things that you need to do before going for the SDM exam or even for the interview. He shares a very funny story about the interview experiences that he's had, and I'm sure you're going to find it very interesting. And then he also talks about what NID offers in the 2 years of master's in SDM, right? Also talks about what SDM candidates can do after they graduate from NID. Now, let's get into the conversation. Hey, Akhil. What's up? How's your Sunday?
Yeah, everything is going good. Yeah, bit of work, but good.
You're working on a Sunday as well?
No, it's for my personal work. So I have got some pre-work to be done.
Okay. And something that you mentioned while we were just discussing about, you know, when we got on a call, that you were in a village right now and you're not in Bangalore. Mm-hmm. Tell me something about it. Like I'm assuming that you would have moved to your village when the lockdown happened, right?
Yeah. So yeah, it's where the home is. So
yeah. So how is it? How has it been living at your home, in your hometown, after I believe a long time?
A long time for a stretch. Yes, it's been very long time. So it's like, okay, that's a problem. Okay. And I used to be an introvert, so you can imagine. So being here.
Yeah. And I can imagine.
The social cycle is pretty much intense here. So being in Bangalore, it's kind of like you are alone. You choose to be social. You have the choice to, but you don't have the choice to. You have to be.
Yeah, I understand. Small community, right?
Yeah.
All right. So, Akhil, you're working as a UX designer at IBM right now.
Yes.
Right? So, why I invited you to be a guest on this podcast, why I really wanted to know your story, because I kind of know that you had made a switch from to design, basically. And I would like to know a little about that path that you took, that you decided that you want to go into design, where, you know, it's a phase where you have spent some years of your life studying a subject, investing money, resources, and then your parents build up some hopes also by the time you graduate, and then you decide to take up another domain, another stream altogether. So how did that happen?
Very good question. So it's a long story, but I'll keep it very short. So you know, you obviously know most people who are in design, they had this kind of a backstory in school where they were good at art. Mm-hmm. Most of them have it. So I was also kind of good at art. So most people said, oh my God, you're into art, you should do it, you should take it up as the big thing. So the exposure that people understood while being in art, being in school, is like, you know, the only option that you have is architecture, right?
Right, yeah.
So people associated design as aesthetic, a lot of money, fashion.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, you know, too posh, not for common folks, and you don't get a job. That's the obvious thing.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, people associated with that. So it was very hard time convincing my parents, like, you know, I want to go to design. Forget design. It was hard time convincing them to go to architecture.
Okay.
So for me, it was like very difficult. So then my father was like, you know, go do engineering. Look at the statistic. He gives me statistic, you know, engineering, job, salary, get it. I assure you that.
Right.
I did not have any statistical data to showcase to him or convince him, you know, this is the right path I want to take. So I got into engineering. But before that, I still remember while I was in school, there was something called Young World. used to get a Hindu paper.
Yeah, I remember that.
It's very old time. So we used to subscribe just for that Young World edition. Okay. So on one day, one of the article, there was something called Q&A session where students ask questions and they give the answers in the paper.
Okay.
Very old days, huh?
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. I was just thinking about it.
So one student asked the question, you know what, I am doing engineering, but I'm not interested in engineering, but I want to do something related to design. What will I do?
Wow.
So it was during that time where I had no idea of IIT doing design, no idea of NID. No, NID to chhod do, no one even knows about it.
Yeah.
During that time. So they listed all the colleges. Okay. They listed all the colleges, all the opportunities that you can take. I still have that article. It's in my diary. So I kept that article with me. So it's like, it's one great thing that happened. And that was a turning point for me to get the information about the institute that is delivering a course on design. But I got into mechanical engineering because obviously the reason. Then I found it's mechanical engineering and it's 92 boys and like 2 girls. Like, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know it. So I was like, okay. I have to be here for 4 years, for entire 4 years. Okay. The first year itself, it was basics of all the disciplines and I felt okay. But when I went to second year, I found that it's thermal, fluid, it's over my head. I was like, dude, this is not something that I want to do as a job.
Yeah.
I cannot do this. So then that's when I went back to the article. Then I said, okay, what has to be done? Then I Googled it. I found seat exam. I found NID exam. Then I started preparing for it around third year of my college.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was preparing from third year to fourth year, like 2 years. So I couldn't write the exam for third year, but I was like, very much eager to. I was in a part of this group called Seed and NID group. It was very active back then. Now there is also a Facebook group, right? We have this going on. So we used to be very active in that particular group, very active. So we used to be like, now it's kind of like very not so active. I don't know what happened. But that time people did not have any information about anything. Exactly. So that was the only source of information that we had. So we made WhatsApp groups while in fourth year and we just kept, preparing for it. But obviously my parents, you cannot convince them, right? So we went to the parent and said, I want to do design. So like, kya design? Kya hota hai? Obviously. So what he did is he got me into JET. Tuition, coaching center.
Okay.
So, the direction is very clear. For them, it's more likely, get BTEC, get MTEC, get a job.
Right.
So I went to JET coaching center. So after my father went, I told to the JET tutor, you know what? I don't want to do JET. Okay.
Okay.
I don't want to do masters in technology. So I asked him directly, can you help me with this? He was a coach in JET and I was like, because I have no other choices with me. Right? So he told me, it's okay. I understand your point.
Right.
Actually, it so happened that I was so lucked out in the sense where two of the seniors who were preparing coaching from that institute got through design by writing JET exam. Okay. So basically in IISc and IIT Kanpur, they take it through JET exam.
Right. Yes.
So I was like, dude, that's a good option. So let me try for that. So he connected me with those two people and they were super interesting, like Ashish and Sachin, I remember. So Ashish was someone who really helped me, Ashish Mohandas, IIT Kanpur. So he's still a great designer.
Okay.
Got a lot of patents and awards and everything. So he helped me with the introduction of, getting into design phase. So I used to be sitting in the back bench while the JET classes happens and I used to just play games and draw sketches and and my friends used to be like, dude, what are you doing? You're spending a lot of money here. What is happening here? And it so happened that after the JET exam got over and I got cleared the exam, Wobi 0.05 point. So the cutoff was around 29 or 30, something like that. And I got 30.05. I was like, dude, that was like epic. And people who were near me did not clear the exam. That's even more thing. So even though that was not my priority, so I wrote the JET exam. But I told my father, you know what, I have some IIT ka exam chalta hai, seed ka.
Okay.
I didn't tell it was design because I cannot. Because if I tell them it is design, they will not let me go.
Right.
So I told them it is related to JET, incomplete information. I didn't lie to them. I said incomplete information. So I went and I wrote a seed exam and an IDK exam. And I got through that. So so right after bachelor's, I cleared the exam and I got a PhD. So yeah, even there also, that's a small bit of story, right?
You know,
I really wanted to go for transportation design because obviously people kept relating mechanical engineering to anyone who is an artist. Being in mechanical, they would want to do automobile design. That's it.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's like, it's kind of a very wrong misunderstanding, because automobile design or styling in automobile is something that you really have to have that craze for it, that passion for that automobiles and everything. I understood while I went to give the interview for NID in transportation design. I was with the transportation design folk, like a few people. They were naming every car while, you know, the road. And it's like, dude, I don't know even, you know, what my father has. You know, I don't have no clue what it is. And they just sketch everything, like, you know, boss detailing, like that, boss sketch. I don't do sketching just like that. I was more into functionality of it. And for seat exam also, I cleared seat exam better. So that's a very good thing. I got around 46 rank or something.
Wow.
But I don't know why it didn't came helpful, because we had this discussion again. Back during the time, the seat exam results were not taken into consideration for the interviews. It was just a number to get you before the call, you know, calling for the interview.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was happening. And I couldn't apply for IIT Bombay exam because my university exam was colliding. So that didn't happen. So I was very upset over it.
Sadly,
and,
yeah.
Very, very upset, because that was my very big need.
Yeah.
But my, well, the one of my mentors, like I said, told you about, he told me, you know what, just leave it, you know, you have other exams pending. So it's like, right. So that's how I got into NID, and the journey went, went pretty well.
So I'd like to talk about, you mentioned transportation design here, and then at NID you went for SDM. So I would like to pinpoint and ask you the switch, yes. Also about this dilemma that a lot of students have when they're opting for different streams, right? When they're supposed to apply for two streams at NID, they have that option. Now, when they go for two streams, they are so confused, right? Like, how do I know that, okay, I know that, let's say, lifestyle exterior design is one thing that I'm really interested in. And then there is another stream, I don't know what to fill. Like, I have no clue about it. So you, on the other hand, have made that transition. You chose a different domain altogether, right? Which is... if I have to say, skill-wise, also design education-wise, it will be completely two different fields of design. So how you made that choice? How you, what factors did you take into consideration?
Even that's a very valid question, because even now, students used to call me and say, you know, I'm applying for this, you know, I really am interested in this particular concept. Which discipline should I apply to? Like recently, I had a friend of mine, like one student who called me like, I'm really into service design. Should I opt for SDM or should I opt for universal design?
Right.
So it's kind of very difficult with that kind of question, because most people, you know, I'm into fashion, which discipline that I should offer. I'm into games, which discipline I'm into.
Yeah.
So if you're going for a specific, you know, a particular knowledge in design, it's kind of very difficult to get the options done.
Right.
So go for things that is something like, you know, what your interest lies in, what you want to do, which doesn't feel you like, you know, doing work. Don't go for the discipline or the subject that you want to learn. So so basically for me also, it was basically coincidence, because if you read through HTM description on the NID portal, most people doesn't get, or you know, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
it's like too much of jargons and everything. It's like, okay, we do this, we do that, intangibles, a lot of words which you have never heard of before. And it was same for me. For me, I got lucked out, because again, luck was a very important factor, because I applied for other reasons, which something like, you know, most people should understand that design in NID, it's not like you get to learn only that particular discipline while you're there. You get exposed to multidisciplinary, you know, faculties and perspectives and people around you. So you have all the option to learn whatever you want to feel like. But the question is NID exam like a GATE exam where you are like, you know, I prepared XYZ and I can get into college. Design, unfortunately, doesn't have that luxury of it. And still, it's based on luck. You know, it's not, there is a luck factor also involved. Even if you're like top tier designer, it doesn't make any sense, you know. Yeah. Even for me, if I have to write the exam again, yeah, there are chances for me to qualify the exam once more. But there are bigger chances for me not to qualify. That doesn't make me not being a designer, right?
Yeah.
So the exam has its own pros and cons. And unfortunately, there is no better evaluation method as of now.
Yes.
So you cannot evaluate a design thinking skill. Because if you're already a designer, why should you come to college?
Yeah.
If you're not a designer, how will you evaluate the design skills? So it's just that picking whatever it can get. So it's just like convincing the person who has not gotten to a design college, you know, you're not there because you didn't qualify, not because he doesn't have the talent. So that is one reason I tell my people who are calling me, like, you know, try to get into design college first. The disciplines or the design principle, irrespective of the discipline, remains the same.
Yes.
The process, how to go about it, everything will remain the same. So first, I would say if you're opting for two disciplines, one, go for the one discipline which is high-end, very top-end, and you really want to get into it. Second, opt for some discipline that is not so sought after. Like, you know, the competition is very less.
Yeah.
So that you get a balance of it. So that, you know, even if you didn't get into, like, you know, high-end discipline, you might even get into the college and you have the opportunity to learn that discipline by being there.
Yeah.
It's a very important thing. So just like that, you know, some courses like product design, graphic design, SDM.
Yeah.
So they are very high end key. Their competition is very high for the last couple of years, as it seems.
Yeah.
But the secondary disciplines, like, you know, other discipline, I don't want to name them.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they might not be having that much competition as the other disciplines.
Yeah.
So you might even get into those disciplines and, you know, get the best of it.
Yeah.
So that's one way to go about it for the people who are like confused whether, you know, to choose between the two. Don't offer like two high-end discipline. That's something that people make mistake of because it's very competitive.
Yeah.
And especially if you're trying for the first time, think about it, because first time writing a design exam is very difficult because a lot of factors come into play.
I know. You're completely, you know, you have a lot of things, like a lot of questions shooting at you. And you don't know what to do. The first time I appeared for seed, I did not qualify. And like first and the last time, I did not appear for seed again. So I did not qualify. I made it to the part through the part A with like really good score, which I did not expect. But part B, I messed up.
Exactly. So that's the problem. You know, a lot of people have the same problem.
Yeah.
Part A, obvious, beautiful. You have written all the MCQs perfectly right. Everything is good. Part B, I didn't get the time, dude. By the end of it, I didn't have any time. And I found that there are lots of questions and the end questions were very simple.
Yeah, I know, right?
So this is very obvious thing. So for me, it was entirely opposite. The reason why I cleared, you know, the first time itself is because key. One thing, I prepared the exam while I was in third year. You know, I was looking at the question paper and I was writing it myself. And I invested a lot on part B because all my friends here who is repeating again with me, they said the same thing, you know, part B with the answer. So I didn't get good marks in part A, but I got good marks in part B because I was like fully focused, like time nahi hai. Time mein laga ke exam pe hai to write it.
Right.
So, yeah.
That's very, very wise way to go about the preparation. Anything else in particular that you've done for the preparation of your NID exam?
There are lots of methods. So as you know, I've been mentoring a couple of students, like, you know, because I was also doing my project based on education, learning, teaching design. So I thought I will just do a mock-up of teaching design and who the best person to teach, like aspirants, right?
Aspirants,
I took a couple of people and I was like thinking, okay, let me teach them design and how to appear for exam. And that learning will help me in like inform my own thesis.
Right.
So I did that, but what I found is that everybody has a different way of learning a design as a concept.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's kind of, I have to find which is that right method or which is that plus one that you have, which can get you through the exam. Some people are not good at sketching. Some people are good at conceptualizing. Some people are good at coming up with different thoughts. That doesn't mean that they're good at sketching.
Yeah.
Some people are very quick in giving the answers. So everybody has a different way to it. Some people are very scholastic, you know, they read a lot of books, they have a different understanding of it. So for each of them, they should have a method to, you know, enhance their way of writing the design exam. So most of the teaching centers, they just focus on aesthetic side of it. You know, how can I sketch it beautifully? How can I, you know, give shadows to the effect? How can I make the product more beautiful?
Yeah.
It doesn't work. It doesn't really work because there are artists, literally there are good artists who are writing the exam. Your same approach.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. You know, they are good at it. So what is your thing? So that's the one thing that you should really look into while preparing for it. So if you look at it, there are one way is like, yeah, if you're starting from the scratch for like 1 year, you have time. You have entire 1 year to work on it. Start by styling, you know, go to Pinterest, like just type, you know, something like product ideations. So you have that bottles, car, headphones, car, like a lot of sketches coming up. Start sketching it out.
Yeah.
You know, just start doing it. So you'll have the understanding of shadow kahan pe dalna hai. What is tips and tricks of making the product look better.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, as it seems, even now, design evaluation, a lot of importance is still gone to aesthetic side of it. So, but fortunately, now it's being discipline-focused exams, right?
Oh, you know, every discipline.
Yeah. So now they are going back on it. They are not looking entirely on the aesthetic of it. They are looking for discipline-focused concept for each subject.
Yes. That makes perfect sense. And I really like how you've mentioned that, you know, for every student it's different. It's different for every student, and the way a student approaches a particular thing, a particular problem or a question, or even the way he thinks, it's very important. And I really appreciate that you mentioned it, because I'm sure a lot of students are going to get a lot of value out of this, what you've just said. If they take your words literally and also like delve deep into all of those things, I'm sure it'll definitely help them for sure.
Yeah, so it's there's one quick method. So you, when you get into design, like a newbie, you get hit by a lot of book names, right? A lot of book names, like design way, a lot of book names, okay? So you have like, and one way to understand which one you're good at is that you pick one book which really interesting, okay? Because every book is different. Like, you know, Edward de Bono, Six Thinking Habits, it is different, design way is different, more on theoretical, some sketching books, okay? Which was that one book that really interests you is actually how you should really focus your preparation on. So that's one important thing which I found out recently, like while helping people out.
That's great.
Because every mentor who is there to teach people, they are going to give you their preparation way to use.
Yes.
I tried it 1 year. I tried it 1 year by helping them in my way. It doesn't didn't work at all.
Yeah.
Really didn't work at all. So I was good at sketching. I assumed that this person will also be good at sketching basics. I started giving him things to make the sketching better, but didn't work out. So understand, you know, what is that person good at? You know, give them books to read. You know, ask them to write articles about it. Which is that one thing, you know, while they're reverting back to article, writing articles is like where you think about something and you have translation of that thought into a words.
Right.
The translation helps the person understand what they're good at.
Right.
So, you know, there are lots of methods to it. So put effort in knowing what you're good at than, you know, just blindly following people and just doing kind of stuff.
Yes, yes. That's thank you for mentioning that. And now I'd like to take you to something that you mentioned about the intangibles when you talked about the STM. Even the description page on the NIT's website talks about a lot of things. There are a lot of jargons. So the intangibles, designing for the intangibles, or you know, all of those things. So how do you deal with that? Like, how do you let's say, even in the exam, from the exam point of view, they do ask you to you know, a new way of doing things, sort of changing the behavior of how we do certain things. So I'm assuming that this has some connection to what you were also taught in the actual course itself.
Okay, so I think two part of the story. One is what is SDM question. One is what are the SDM exams be like and how to approach it. Two questions here.
Okay,
so I'll go with the second question first. Is that the right way? Okay, I'll go with the second question. So what? How do you approach SDM questions?
Right.
Accept the fact that you are writing an SDM exam and you have around 1 hour time, right? And SDM is focused on research, generic assumption. You don't have 1 hour time to do the research for that particular problem statement. Okay. They are not expecting you to, like, you know, do a hardcore research on everything. And if you're looking at it, okay, whatever things that I'm putting in the paper is something that I It's all I, right? There comes right. all I think. I felt this. I had an experience about it.
Right.
In design, you don't take that. In design, you don't solve a problem based on, okay, I have felt it was good, so I will design for that particular need. That doesn't work. It's artistic concept, self-expression. Design is for the user. You have to think like a user. Design problems, 1 hour exam, you cannot think like a user because you don't have the time to interview all the people. So SDM exams are not really focused on, you know, giving the answers to every question. It's to showcase how did you approach this particular problem statement. So I'll give an example, just like there's a few days back when a student called me and gave a problem statement. It was like he, Delhi pollution, something like that was question happening last year or something like that. So yeah. It was like how to solve the Delhi pollution problem. Very generic statement. Okay.
Yeah.
So here we are not supposed to like come up with a beautiful product that will, you know, absorb the carbon dioxide and make into oxygen. It doesn't work like that, right?
Yeah.
So how will you solve it? So accept the fact, you know, it's not going to work. So what is their expectation out of you being an SDMer or someone who wants to be in SDM discipline is to showcase them multiple perspective of approaching this problem.
Right.
How can I give multiple perspectives to the problem? One thing, if I cannot solve it in 1 day or 1 hour, what can I do? I can literally make a plan or phase-wise strategy for like 4 years. It will take 4 years to solve some problem of pollution in Delhi. Literally, practicality.
Yeah.
So 4 years ka plan banana hai. So 4 years mein I have to specify each module. What is my MVP? What is the first MVP? When will it happen? Why did you choose that particular date? So I'm saying that 10 days mein I'll have to initiate an awareness campaign. What will that campaign be about? What will that first concept be about? I can do that.
Yeah.
Or even if I cannot say the exact name of the campaign, I can say what kind it should be like.
Right.
And why did I choose a campaign? Why not a product? Why not a services and model? Why not a systemic problem? Why not a conference? Why not a lot of other things? So here a lot of problems come in, right? Now, basically this problem was a systemic problem. So you take pollution in the center and you come with like, okay, what are the types of pollution? Air pollution, noise pollution. So which one are you focusing on? Is it air pollution?
Yeah.
So is noise pollution related to the air pollution? Now look at the other side of it. Transportation. What are the types of vehicle that is creating pollution? So yeah, there is vehicles of buses, cars and everything. Now you look at the timing of it. When is the timing of the pollution increasing? Or it's like, you know, having it on morning, evening and everything. So then what is that behavior? If you're looking at the behavioral side of it, what is that behavior in the humans which, you know, gives plus one to the pollution happening? So one can be like, you know, I take car for no reason at all. I take car for like 50 minutes walk. I don't want to walk. I will go there. So there are behavioral side of it, social side of it. Why are people not taking bus and still want to be in a car or four-seater empty and walking?
Yeah.
Because I'm a privileged person. I don't want to be in a car. I'm a high-class person. I cannot be in a car. I cannot be in a bus.
Yeah.
So that's a social part of it. So these are the behavioral part that you mentioned, which also involves in the design problem. Right. And now you look at the anthropology basis. What led people to start honking, you know, in the traffic? What was happening? Is it something that was already there as a feature in the automobile? Or is it a feature like, you know, kept happening because we are Indians? Or because we are human?
Could be. Yes, yes.
We don't know the answers to this, right?
Yeah.
So now we look at the economy side of it. Like, is it because... So, petrol, very, very costly, right?
Yeah.
In a car, it's super costly. It will save you as a person much better if you're going with a bus. In fact, you will be saving a lot of money.
Yeah.
Still, they would like to prefer paying a lot.
Yeah.
According to economics, ideal human should go by bus. But ideal human will go by cars. Why?
Yeah.
Because real-time economics doesn't work in, like, you know, sorry, you know, theoretical economics doesn't work real-time. So there comes behavioral economics part of it.
Right.
So when you take all this perspective and map it out, like, you know, I am mapping it out in a 4-year strategy or a plan.
Right.
Strategy will work irrespective of that. Plan might not work, may work, I don't know. But can you lift them down? Can you give them approaches? And can you pick what is MVP? What is that urgent thing that you can do as of now? So being a person who is writing that particular problem should write it down. You know, the first thing that I will have to do if I have been charged with this particular problem for the next few minutes, if I'm getting paid for it, if I have to do it, the first thing I have to do is call up around 5 to 6 designers or environmentalists or activists and create a conference term. What is to be done? And some of this, yeah, there's another perspective like policy making, because most of the thing is like policy related thing because it's in Delhi. And if you can see the Arvind Kejriwal, they have this rule like odd even number card. So that is one result of one particular plan of that entire strategy to reduce
pollution.
So that's one specific thing. How did they came down to it? They came down to this particular, it's come from this particular system itself. They took the pollution, they took the timing of the pollution, they took the number of vehicles, car, bike and everything. So they want to reduce the timing on that particular time by half. Let's see what the effect is. So solutions will come accordingly. You don't have to worry about it. But did you understand the problem as you have, you know, got the basic understanding? If you can showcase this as much perspectives of the same problem as you can, the better your, you know, chances are, you know, to getting through it.
Right. And then when you talk about the second round of it, let's say, I'm sure that they're going to present you with these kind of questions in the interview as well, in the studio test and all of that. But the portfolio and interview, the very last session, or it could be before also, depending on the schedule that they come up with. In my case, it was very, very surprising for me because I just walked into the NID Gandhinagar campus and I put my, what I was saying, carton, and I had all the models and everything that I made. And I put it there and I checked my schedule. Aadhe ghante mein interview hai mera. I was like, what? It was crazy surprising for me. But yeah, irrespective of that, so interview is something that happens where lot of the people, actually the very best thing to do is being honest, right, about everything, so there have been a lot of designers who've talked about it. I've talked to many people also regarding this factor. I would want to know what your take on the interview of and the portfolio for SDM is.
So SDM doesn't really require you to have a portfolio. That's one important thing, because how will you evaluate based on a portfolio? What will you make as a portfolio for SDM? It doesn't work, right? Obviously, SDM is a discipline that revolves around strategy and behavior and social psychology and everything. So you are not a student who has done that before. So they are not expecting you to have a portfolio for SDM. They don't even, you know, even if you show them, they might not even, you know, go through it. Or they might go through it, but the questions are unrelated to your portfolio. They might even ask questions based on portfolio if you're like, you know, please look into portfolio if you're just pushing it in. But it's not required at all. So that's one common question that you get from SDM. And the other one is based on interview. You have the panel members. It changes every time. And yeah, as you said, they look for honesty and how open are you? And that's what I gave, you know, while giving the example or the answer to the question. If I tell him, you know, whatever you learned in economics is wrong, it's not going to work. So they will start arguing with you. So there is a very big unlearning curve happening once you get into NID, especially SDM, a very big unlearning curve. Because you will understand that whatever you have learned doesn't work in real life. And design requires you to do that. Don't be rigid in terms of your beliefs and everything. Be flexible enough to accept a new thought or information and be yourself. So I'll give you my example my experience of the interview. Super weird is one of those weirdest interviews I had. It's super weird. That's one reason why I love SDM. So so I have a couple of friends who were with me during waiting for the interview. And they all got through SDM. They were with me. That's a beautiful story later. So I got in. And the first thing, I obviously had a portfolio because I applied for transportation design. So, kuch to hoga mere paas.
Right.
And I only made one portfolio for the entire journey of Seed and NID together. So, it has product design, it has transportation design, and it has one like one startup I worked on back then. So, I got into the interview panel and they asked me to like, place it down. And I sat down. And first thing the guy asked is like, what is content? So, it's like... so then I replied back saying, is it condominiums? So I remember I watched Rocky Balboa movie back then. So I had this. There's a particular scene there, if you remember. So it's like, do you want to invest in condominium? So he's, Rocky was like, no, I do it raw. Something like that. So this guy asked me like, condoms. So because I'm expecting something like condominiums or, you know, business related questions.
Right.
So I was taken away. No, he said, my name is condom. So what is it? So being in mechanical engineering, I had no walls with respect to these things. So I was like, okay, so condom is a sheath that is used in sexual intercourse and everything. So I was very open about it. So then his question was like, if you have to design a new variety of, you know, advertise the cost concept of a condom to a market, what will you do about it? Then I was blank. Then I was like, dude, that's a question that I never expected. I was like, dude, okay. So then I went to aesthetics. You know, there are patterns, you know, all the condoms are very blank. It's kind of very monotonous. Have some texture or, you know, some associations to it, like, you know, color, scent or fragrance or something like that. Then it's like, ah, okay, it's okay. So you're saying aesthetic will solve the problem of marketing. One way. So I just gave that. Then he went to the next question, which is even more weird. Very, very weird. So it's like, you see a crow and you want to make it sing like a nightingale. What will you do?
Wow.
Sir Crow.
Okay.
Nightingale? Yes, nightingale. So you want to see a crow, no, sir? Yes. You want to hear it like a nightingale, right?
Okay.
The point is that your auditory response should be nightingale's voice every time the crow is opening the mouth. Right?
Right.
So it's like, yeah, so basically whenever the crow is opening the mouth, make sure that this person hear only the nightingale's voice. So it can be done by many methods. I'm not going to solutions.
Right.
Okay, so I gave that answer, like, okay. Okay. Then he gave another question. Very open-ended, very, very weird. ATM, SDM.
Wow.
ATM, SDM. It's like, okay, what should I do? What should I tell him? Tell something about it. ATM and SDM. So ATM, you insert a card, you get the money back. For SDM...
Right.
You put something, you get some money back. Right. You invest something, you get some money back. Say it. And literally, this was the interview, the entire interview that happened. So, and the other one plus point was that I gave the SDM interview after transportation design interview.
Oh, okay.
My transportation design interview was epic. It was bad. It was really bad. Everybody in transportation design who went with me knows my interview. That bad.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Okay. And it so happened that the transportation faculty who interviewed me was also part of the SDM faculty interview.
Wow. Okay.
I was like, and one question was that he looked at my profile and he has information. You applied for transportation also. So what would you do if you get no transportation? Would you not choose SDM? And I smiled and looked at the faculty who took my interview and said, sir, aapko bhi pata hai, nahi mil raha hai. So he said, sahi hai. So he also confirmed it's not going to happen. So
it's fine.
Yeah, that was like really interesting interview. And I was like, I came out of the interview and I was like, dude, it what happened? Yeah, so and that was also the time when my friend who was giving interview introduced me to Kenny Sebastian. Okay.
Oh, okay.
That was the first time seeing his video, dogs and everything.
Uh-huh.
So I went into the interview with that mindset of Kenny, you know, that kind of a mindset. So that really helped me. I was very having a very fun approach to every question that he giving
me. Yeah.
So the mindset that you keep before you enter the interview plays a big role in it. So that's one thing I found out too.
Yes.
Yeah, so that was my interview experience. So, and I still tell you, it's not like you're going to get this interview kind of an experience, but it depends. It changes with respect to faculties. It changes with respect to people who is going to get interview. Some people looked into your portfolio and they started asking questions. Some people ask you. Most common method is they ask you where you're from. So if I ask you, where are you from? Sanjay, right? If I ask you that question.
Okay. So I'll say I'm from... Where are you from? I'm from Guntur district.
Guntur. So they will ask you, what is that particular art form in Guntur that is famous?
Right.
Okay. What is that food that is found only in Guntur that you would introduce me to?
Mirchi.
So now you are not able to come up with exact names of those things.
Yeah.
So they'll question you, why are you not aware of your own surroundings, your own culture, your own heritage?
Yeah.
And your design is about understanding more about that, more about people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, most people better be aware, you know, do some research on where you're from, whatever, you know, you give plus points, like, oh, I am from here, I've gone to this place, I've learned, I've been to Michigan, I've been doing university, so you give that things, but these are all points where the evaluators will judge you by. They will ask you questions.
Exactly.
You've gone there, good. You have done that, good. You've been there, awesome. Do you know about it? Can you tell me about it? Can you introduce me to that person? So that's the thing that you have to, you know, give more thought into it. Don't give things that is you don't know about. Don't talk about it.
That's very
one
true.
Good thing. Yeah, the one good thing about interviews, Taiki, it's not that you know everything. Telling lies, not talking about it is two different things.
Yeah.
Better not talk about it. So keep quiet, you know. That's a good side of the interview, actually.
Yeah, that's very true. And when you said that, okay, they were throwing all the weird questions at you, and you also mentioned about the mood that you're supposed to have before entering the room, and somehow made me feel nostalgic about what my interview. Like I said, right, I was very surprised. Like, what? I have my interview in half an hour. I said, okay, let's go. And I was wearing flip flops because I did not expect it to happen. You know, I was wearing flip flops. Chappal pehen ke interview dile gaya tha main. Then I had this carton box, ye pura leke gaya, and the guy was like outside the room. There was this person who was sitting and marking the attendance. And he called out my name. I went there and I signed. And in front of the door, there was a glass door. Mm-hmm. And there was somebody was looking at me, like staring at me. Kuch galat to nahi kar diya gaya yahan baith ke? I was thinking about it. But I was like trying to distract myself and talking to this guy. So we were laughing about something. I don't know what that was. I don't remember. But we were laughing about it. And then I went inside. And I carried forward that mood. Because I was just laughing outside with this guy. And the very first thing that happened set the tone and mood of my interview. Like, I went inside, I kept that Amazon ka dabba tha, jisme sab bhar ke gaya tha main, and I kept it on the table. And one of the panel members was saying, Amazon. I said, no, don't worry, this is not an Amazon delivery. So everybody started laughing, and that set the whole mood up. Like, it was good. After that, there were points where they grilled me, achche se, but it was good. It was good. Like, I only realized it after I came out and talked to one of the seniors, like, yeah, ye hua hai. Like, is it good or bad? But yeah, it all worked out and it was good. But yeah, I was trying to underline the fact that the mood which you get into the room is very important.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And
especially when the conversations or the interviews happening late or in afternoon and everything. And afternoon is very important factor. If you're getting interview afternoon, they are super sleepy, and better make sure that the interview is interesting. So that's the best part.
Yes. That's very true.
Yeah.
Cool. Now, I would like to talk about one project in particular that you did at SDM. At NID, sorry. The final year project that you mentioned that you were talking about. Talking about the understanding of design, right? When you mentioned about it.
Yeah.
So I would like to ask you to talk a little about, like, talking about design to aspirants.
So, design. Yeah, I mean, I think I should go with the other question, which I forgot to answer. Basically, what is SDM about?
Right, okay. Yeah.
So, after that, I'll get this question.
Cool.
So, there's a lot of misconceptions about SDM, which have to be cleared. It's kind of very difficult. And I'll still tell you, if you're going to ask 15 in our batch, there are 15 people. And if you're asked, what is SDM to 15 of the people, they would give 15 different answers.
Yes.
Entirely different answers. If you have talked to another SDM person other than me, they would give you another description of SDM or their experience in it. Because that's how the course is being designed. It's not a generic course where you learn X, Y, Z things. You don't learn skills of X, Y, Z things. And people who are here to learn skills or some credibility or some technique that they can take it forward or advertise for job, you'll not get it here. whatever you have learned will be what you have put in effort as. So that's a very important thing. And yeah, so now to talk about SDM, it's about a lot of things. Mostly it's about designing yourself, basically. Mm. That's what I think this SDM is about. Mm. To understand what you are, to understand what your skill set lies, and how will you take that you out into the market and do what you want to do, actually, what you're good at.
Mm.
The first few courses or first few modules in SDM focus on understanding people, basically behavioral science, you know, social behavior, human behavior, what changes it happens. It's very simple that it's very relevant outside, but we are not able to see through it. That's the perspective we are not able to get at. So it's, I'll give an example of it. It's kind of like oranges, like two oranges having 30 rupees. Okay. Mm. Same oranges, same taste. I sell one for 5 rupees. I sell another for 40 rupees. Which one will you buy, Sanjay?
5.
Obviously, right?
Yeah.
So, but people don't buy it. Like, It doesn't work that way. So it's like I have a store with the oranges. One is run by a very old guy, which is having a very bad attitude towards it. And he's selling orange for 5 rupees. And another one is run by a very hot girl. Okay, just mentioned that. She's selling for 35 rupees and she gives oranges in a cover and packed in plastic bag.
Okay? Yes, right.
And everything. And has a label to it and a sticker attached to it and everything. You give very freely. You will give for like, you know, 40, 50 bucks.
Easy.
60 bucks, 70
easy.
Bucks.
Easy,
very easy.
Easy.
So that's how we sell in design, right? That's how things get sold. That's how marketing happens. That's how branding happens.
Right.
So there are lots of other behaviors attached to it. Like even here, if you're going alone, you will have a different attitude. You will not go for the hot girl because you're kind of shy to it, kind of. But if you're going in a group, you might have a different attitude, like you know, something else. Like basically, if you're going to friend's marriage, Akela, different attitude. Parents ke saath, entirely different attitude.
Yeah.
Like, simple as that. So this behavior has a very big influence on your decision-making process and how you approach a problem. So because whenever you design a product, you never thought that the product is being used by people. Yes, I solve their need, I solve their problem. But the same product works differently when it's being having an individual behavior and a social behavior.
Right.
So it's kind of having different perspective to it. And now other subjects like, you know, leadership module, we have this module called leadership. Right. So there are lots of modules or framework which we works on leadership, like the hierarchy that you have in corporate office, top down, or like bottom up, like our democracy, like our leaders that we elect, servant leadership model, because they are underneath us, right? Because we are the one who elect them. So leader, do you mean you just being vocal about it and you are just standing up firm and you being loud, and you know, are you associating that as a leader? So no, that is not being called a leader, right? So leadership as a concept has evolved throughout the ages. And me being, so what is the purpose of a leader? Purpose of a leader to make sure that to lead the people to complete a particular set of actions or functions. Irrespective of me being loud, I can do that. So how will you design a leadership framework for a company? Right. So startups are right. So what will you do that? What will you do about it? So this concept, like, you know, what will I do? Like, you know, these questions keep popping up. And it should not be like one is above the other. But if everyone is equal, who will take the responsibility of it? You know, who will be responsible to, like, you know, problems? If something happens, if I'm keeping the peon or the chaiwala to be equal as the manager, what will happen? Is it going to be good? So we are looking at the solution side of it. Now look at what is the vision of the company and what is the mission. You know? That's an entirely different tangent that you should think about. Like, it's like, why am I making this company? So startups, why do startups fail, basically? It's very simple. Why do 90% of the products doesn't get out of the market and be successful? Once their product cycle is over, they are unable to create a new product. And even if they're creating a new product, they are not associated with the brand they are going to go with.
Right.
It's kind of very simple. Like in terms of if Apple is coming up with a car, you will buy it. But if Preeti Mixer Grinder, if even though Preeti is a very good company, if they're coming up with the car, you'll not buy it.
Right.
So the association that you have for a particular brand with the product and how will you advertise yourself as? If you have seen that Simon Sinek, you know, why, how, so what, how and why, right? So we'll understand more about why are we doing it.
Yeah.
So that part of how we curate the leadership framework or the understanding of the behavior, social psychology before and how will you design it? So it will happen automatically. When I create a company, all the people will have a different behavior. They will have a sutta time, you know, if I IT pay. The new behavior will keep popping up. The culture will start happening automatically. Can you design that culture? Can you design that attitude of the people? So that is something that revolves around the first year of SDM. It's very interesting and I loved it.
Yeah.
But people might not be interested in it if they are looking for theories and, you know, skill set. So there are people in SDM who are not happy with this kind of learning, which involves behavioral learning to understand why are we doing it. So they wanted skill set. So that doesn't work. So it's not for every people, basically, simple as
that.
So who are inquisitive enough to understand humans, that's only for those people who are into that. And one main question or the problem which most people assume SDM as, it's not management. There is no such thing as management. There is management, but not MBA. Absolutely not MBA.
Yes.
It's not MBA of design. It's never about MBA. So why people apply? I still remember some people were like, you know, I don't know sketching. Okay, I'm not good at sketching. I think design is cool because uske liye preparation utna zyada mat karna nahi karna hai. SDM sahi hai. Okay. Dude, it's okay. You don't have to do sketching, agreed.
Yeah.
And preparation design, but that doesn't make it, you know, kind of like a management of design. It doesn't work like that. So don't apply to SDM thinking that, oh, MBA type is hai, toh main apply karta hoon. No, that doesn't work. So once you get it, it's going to be a very big set of disappointment because you'll not learn. You learn finances, you learn economics. Design perspective, not on the actual thing. Like the behavioral economics that I told you about, you learn that. You learn finances. Pe kya kar rahe. Finance is simple. You bargain it with a lady who is outside, you know, selling simple 20 rupees ka aloo kela and everything. But you go to a 5-star restaurant and like, huh, you give it as much money as they want.
Yeah.
What is that happening? It's all inherent behavior, motivation, biases, everything is there. So you learn about that. How do you do that? A person is smoking. How do you change that person's behavior to not to smoke? Can you do that? A lot of companies come up with advertisement, but they forget to understand that you are solving only for a generic audience.
Yeah.
You're solving only for an ideal people. You're not solving for the specific individual. So designing for that revolves around a lot of intangibles, like you just said, trust, behavior, leadership, framework, motivation, hierarchy, biases, culture. How will you design for that is what revolving around SDM as subject.
Right.
So, and you learn around 70% of what you should learn in the last year, actually. That's the crux of it. And the first year is all about you preparing for you to learn.
Yeah.
Like, you know, chipping away the unnecessary things, not creating the sculpture, like chipping away.
Right.
Learning all the things that you've learned, reading a lot of books, getting a base set so that you learn better in the last semester.
Incredible.
So last semester is about the systems view or the perspective and the service design. So these two subjects get you, you know, better understanding. Yeah, service design is an entirely different tangent of topic of conversation. We'll have that later. But
yeah.
This is what you get in SDM as a whole. So think more about it. It's not for every student. So be careful if you're applying for SDM. It's not easy at all because no one is going to hire you for the marks you got in design. It's not like engineering. No one hires you for the marks.
Yeah.
What work you did for, you know, 2 years, that's what you get hired for. You know, as any designers, that's how it works, right?
Yeah. Right. And, Pretty much that.
And most importantly, 15 students, once you join, the 15 students get 15 different directions. Okay. So that's also one important point is because 15 different directions doesn't mean that, you know, 15 people will get job very easily. So think about it. I'm very much interested in teaching and designing for education, students and everything. The market right now doesn't have that opportunity. So I will not be able to get in as quick as possible.
Yeah.
But that is what I have to do, what I'm good at. Right. So I have to wait it out and, you know, get the right opportunities to get into it.
Right.
So don't compare with opportunities or getting placement to, you know, the interest that you will generate in 2 years of doing design.
Right.
So, yeah, UX, UI, you get job like 24/7. There are around 7,000 plus applicants needed. Still, company pay a B. Do some wireframes, do some graphic works. You can get a job.
Right.
But that is not why you spend 2 years doing SDM. So it's something different. So thankfully, most people don't go by that fashion in SDM. So that's pretty good.
That's nice.
And yeah, so that's about SDM as a whole. So
right.
It's very important to get that concept here.
That's really good. And thank you for explaining that in a lot of detail. Yeah. And now, like going back to the question.
Exactly.
Yeah, teaching the students, the let's say school students,
yeah,
about design, the understanding of design.
Yeah. Design, it was first. A very big journey because I felt I was being cheated while I was in school by teaching unnecessary stuff, which is what I believe. Because if I have to become a designer, a lot of the things I've learned for 12 years is redundant for me.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Yeah, accept it. I don't have to remember the time Panipat war happened or something like that. But still,
yeah.
I only wish I had been given some basic understanding of design, which I believe if student was supposed to have it. So design is not what you call a discipline which have a theories and set of principles that you have to, you know, by heart it and follow it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a view to look at problems. So, you know, the difference between to invent, to discover, to design. So it's, there are thin lines between them. So to invent is scientific, to discover it's also scientific, to design is also scientific, because when you are looking at a design problem, the solutions that you're coming up with is always based on scientific facts and figures. So it's not like design is only aesthetic side of it. Yeah, aesthetic plays a very important role, because that's where the other side, right? Emotions.
Yeah, emotions,
experience, experience, yeah. That play. So the colors, everything, right? Why yellow color? You have another reason why color.
Everything visual, yeah, right.
Everything visual. So design has a lot of connections to it. So it's not based on a set of theories. So it's as it's a flux. I say it's a flux which builds or brings subjects together. So if I have to design in medical engineering field, I have to design something. The flux is a design, and I have to bring that together. Policy making, policy design, it's a subject. I have to bring that together. So only if I had understanding of that flux of design, I could have had a better childhood or better understanding of design.
Right.
So I believe ki, you know, students should be able to have this understanding of design. At least what is not design.
Yeah.
Yeah. So even I don't think I can solve the entire problem of the education system. Education system is itself redundant. You know it. It's unfortunately there is no other way. It's being so
it's complex. I think.
Yeah, it's
very complex.
It's grounded so badly into the earth. It's kind of like its roots are so deep.
Yeah.
That you cannot just take it away. It's not going to work.
Yeah.
So you cannot change that. So at least some changes. So that was my intent while I was approaching this module. So I got into IBM. So now people say, you know, IBM mein jaake to education pick up kyun kar rahe hain? It's kind of weird.
Right.
So IBM was like super great place because of the people. Oh my God, the people were awesome. So placement, as I told you, like I'll just come with the placement thing. So placement, obviously you have a specific direction, education pe jana hai. You don't get a job.
Yeah.
You don't get a job for that. So I didn't get placement for Baldi. One set placement which happened in campus, and next set of placement happened in Bangalore campus. And I worked there, and I was attending at the last company, and it was IBM. And I just went for it. I was like, I will attend. I will just do it. So I went, and the CDO was interviewing me. And it was a beautiful setup interview, like Sudhindra and Tanisha. Beautiful setup interview. We had a good conversation, and it took a lot of time. I didn't realize it took a lot of time, and by the end of it, I found that they hired me for the internship.
Wow.
And once I got into the company, it's like, you know, they had some rules and regulations with respect to it, and they could not give the live project that was happening. So he pitched me. Like, it's so lucked out again. Wow. He pitched me, can you work on this concept of education? And can you design a curriculum for it?
Wow.
Like, dude, that's what I want to do. So there was another person with me, Anakha. She was a beautiful teammate to work with. So we were working together on this project. And we faced with a lot of hardship because we went to schools. They are very rigid in terms of not accepting anything new. It's even after me having my own faculties, my own teachers who are being taught, they're still very rigid about it. And we had to do like a lot of work in terms of like getting the students to talk to us, getting the teachers to talk to us, getting the parents to talk to us. So that was a very big eye-opener thing for me. And one easy thing that I found is that a lot of designers out there right now have the same concept of why design is not being taught to students.
Exactly.
And they helped us a lot. They 100%. Helped us a lot. Yeah.
100%.
So we had this conversation. We had a lot of designers people talking to us in a very great length, how they could have improved. So that really got us to a lot of observations, insights and everything. And that's how we came down to curriculum. And we presented it and it ran pretty well. They loved it. And the framework was not something that has been accepted by CBSE, but still CBSE really came out with a design for 11th standard student that particular point of time. And I felt very happy about it.
Incredible.
So I'm not sure how they're going to execute it because it has a lot of pros and cons because there are no design teachers available. Our teachers are not design teachers.
Yeah.
So who will teach the teachers about design? Right.
Yeah.
So students, they have an understanding of design. No, they don't. They only have YouTube channel like yours and other people who gives them only the very little of what they want to know. So it's kind of a very big problem. It's getting solved recently, but it will take another couple of years to get it done properly, I believe. So that's my thesis, which went pretty well.
It's very interesting, very interesting, and very right. I mean, even I share the same point of view that why is design not being taught at schools? Like, at least introduce to kar do, yaar, because I went for engineering, like, did 4 years of my life, went there. And when I think about what I did in the past 2 years and then think about the 4 years that were there, 2010 to 2014, maine kiya kya tha, wahan pe kuch nahi. Right, so yes, in the same boat there with that thought process, school.
So, one of our major work or investment that we did as a team was not only on design, not entirely on design as a subject, but about learning as looking through design as a perspective. So, the point here is that how do you know what you're good at? See, you remember this very common cartoon, which I think Lakshman, he only sketched it, I remember. It's like there is a fish in a bowl, there is a monkey, there is an elephant, and the examiner gives who will climb the tree first will give him the best marks. Obviously, the monkey is going to win, but the other will not be able to do it.
Yeah.
But the society would want the please try harder, you're not good enough, do it.
Yeah.
Right. But it's not happening the other way around. So if it is a design subject, and if they are asking you music or art or something like a very aesthetic, artistic, self-expression way. When you are good at that thing, people say, it's okay. What is it about? So people, if you're not good at art or if you're not good at music, it's like, hey, it's okay. It's just a side subject, not relevant. It's fine.
Yeah.
So that learning as a concept, and when you look back into learning, when did you realize what you're good at? Right? It took me engineering plus my design, plus when I got into SDM and the teachings that I learned to know, this is what I have to do. Right. And it's actually a bit of luck because most people, after 12 years of education, still don't know what they want to do in life. And most people end their lives without even understanding or realizing what is that one potential that they have, which people have explored better.
Right.
So this is all happens during the 12 years of time. And so it's having a negative thought away, because if I'm telling, you're good at art, you have to become an artist. He might not be an artist. What his potential would be like. So if you're good at sports, you have to be a sportsman. No, he might be having that skill set in leadership, maybe. He might be having that skill set in team play, maybe.
Yeah.
He might be having that skill set in strategizing or problem solving. So who will get them the understanding, this is what you should focus on, you should evolve.
Right.
That transformation which should have happened in school education is not happening.
Mm-hmm.
The Gurukul system, which happened long back, really did solve this problem. Because you stay in their house, you look at their behavior, look at their approach to every single thing. And the guru knows ki what this child is good at. He have this insight. Because he's staying with that person 24 hours a day. And you should know this basic concept of how attention should be given by the teachers. Maximum of 15 students. That's the maximum that a teacher can give attention to at a point of time. Every class is filled with 40 students or 50 students.
Yeah,
you cannot do that. So it's kind of very obvious because science have backings to it. This is not going to work. But we still follow it, unfortunately. And design helps you to self-learn, actually. You
know? Yeah.
To do it yourself to find that potential. So that is what I felt, you know, design should be introduced in schools and it should be like really taken care of.
Very incredible, man. I mean, I love talking on this subject and by far I've really enjoyed this conversation with you. Like, I mean, it's something very close to me also and I resonate with that idea and it's really lovely that I am meeting another person who's done a lot of work already in that direction. Which is really, really cool.
I mean, there are lots of things here. So basically, it's like there are lots of studies and research has already been done. It's available to you. It's just that we are so adamant not to follow it. Like in SDM, we have this principle where every module will have a new learning for every year.
Okay.
So if I'm having a service design as a subject, every year the topic covered will be different. Which means that the juniors and seniors together have to attend every single subject which is being taught. Yeah, so that's something that is being followed in an ID, which they update their curriculum or their system every single time. Even though the deliverables remain the same or sometimes not the same, the teaching differs with respect to time, which is something that we should have that. So, and the jury, the concept of evaluating students. So I can talk about this all day, actually. You know,
I know.
Because learning is like a very big topic. It has something like evaluation, learning, processing, assimilating the thought. How to read. Not everybody is good at reading.
Yeah.
Actually, there are types of like different methods of learning. The methods of reading books. There are actually different methods of reading books. You don't have to read through every sentence of it.
Yeah.
Are they aware of it? So these concept of education is not being introduced to schools as of now. It would be great they could do it. So that's one other reason, you know, why I want to be a teacher or why I want to influence teaching as a profession later on in life.
That's really cool. Yeah. Now, before we close the session, I want to talk to you about the UX designer position that you have at IBM. Now, how did that happen and what do you do at IBM?
As I told, I want to become a teacher. So I consulted with my faculty, it's my guru, and he said there are options to go teach right after master's. And I said, can I apply for that position? So basically, you become a family once you are in SDM because you consult about everything, even your love life, everything. So I asked the faculty and like, you know, what to be done. So he said, you know, what will you teach? You will teach the learnings that you learned. You don't have anything to teach on application basis. Right? You don't know the real world. You don't know how this design actually works in the world. Get a perspective on all those things. Get corporate perspective. Get startup perspective. Get social design perspective. Get a policy design perspective. And then you go and teach. Because the students that you're going to teach will have all the different perspectives, all the needs to the problem. Okay, I want to become a very high-class CEO of a company.
Right.
How will you teach that person? Right. So one another thing, as a result of which I really want to be in a corporate and I want to experience what their way of dealing with design is. And user experience design in IBM, it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful place to be. And it's because of people, because I have told my faculty or the people who hired me, you know, I want to do teaching. Like, it's not like I told them, I want to become a UX designer. I want to like hear and everything for the next 10, 20 years. No, they accept the fact that, and they help me with it. They teach me things. Even now, some mentors, even though they are not my project manager, they call me, hey, a workshop is happening. You know, just come and get into the workshop. It will be a great exposure to how to talk to clients and how to, you know, talk about design.
Nice.
That is kind of something that I don't think other they might be. I'm not sure because I'm only aware of IBM. But being an experience designer in IBM, it helps me a lot. And why an SDMer doing experience design in IBM? That's the question. So it's a good thing because you're increasing your perspectives here, and I'm getting to learn corporate way of design. How quickly you have to deal with the client. Yahan pe bhi bahut aata hai. So I'm not executing as of now because I just joined. I'm learning phase mein hai. So I'm learning how you're talking to, I'm observing how managers are dealing with the clients, how they are proposing a pitch, how they are, you know, I'm really, really interested. So my thought is very open and I can really understand, you know, ki what is happening there in their mindset, what do they need, what do they want, two different things. How will I convince them of their need, not their want? So even though at some point you might have to do redundant work like making some PPTs or wireframe just for the sake of it, yes, that's unfortunate as it seems, but it's the other side of the story. Yeah. You don't get entire 100% of the juice, right?
Yeah,
right. You get some seeds also, right?
Right.
So that's how experience design is for me. And SDM, it gives you a learning platform. You are a learner once you get out of SDM always. So every day you write some articles or you just write some notes. That's one great thing. And one of my seniors who was in SDM, I still remember having this conversation with managers and manager when she just quit the IBM and she's going to a different place. So the clients were like, we need her.
Right.
I know what she did. See, that's how it should be done. So
right.
It works. You'll have a different mindset. So SDM is not about learning skills, basically, not experience in a skill. How you talk to people, how you interact with people, how you are open to learning new things. I'll still tell you, it's kind of a big thing. I don't know if I should tell this is a YouTube platform, but still, I would still tell you that, you know, while I was being hired for a full-time professional, I didn't know Photoshop, I didn't know XD, I didn't know anything. I was doing design work. So people don't misunderstand ki if you know XD or Adobe Suite makes you a designer. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
And I learned XD like in 2 days or something. It's not a very big thing. It's a very simple thing. If you put effort into it, you learn it.
Yeah.
But don't evaluate yourself as someone who's good at Adobe Suite or XD makes you a good designer.
Yeah.
And corporate also doesn't believe in that way. You can see I'm myself as an example.
Yeah.
Do good problem, solve the problem, give them perspectives and you get them, you know, looking forward to working with you.
It's a very good thing that you mentioned it, because a lot of times a lot of students do come up and ask that, saying that, Sanjay, I don't even know how to, you know, render in a particular way. I don't have a style of rendering. I said, don't worry about all of that. You know, it's a very good thing that you mentioned. And now that students have listened to this, they'll actually have that validation, you know, coming from me is okay because I understand, I know, but then they'll look at you and say, okay, that guy is there at IBM and he's saying this. So this is a very good thing that you mentioned about this.
So it's very required, you know.
I
didn't, so basically, which means that 2 years while I was in design college, I didn't know the and I didn't learn it. You can learn software at any point of time, but learning design takes a lot of time, a lot of hard work. So put effort into that.
Yeah. That's true. Cool. It was lovely talking to you. And I'm really grateful that you've taken out time and given your weekend. Say thank you for doing that. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's good talking to you, actually. You know, pretty interesting as it seems. So hopefully clear some of the doubts with students, because a lot of people do call, a lot of people, like my friends. Some, I get random calls, like suddenly I get calls like, you know, this particular people recommended you, I want to know about SDM. Right. Okay, fine. You can call, talk about it.
Right.
So so it's kind of great that people are doing things like this so that they can understand things. So it's fine. It's all good.
Thanks, man. Thank you.
Yeah.